Well, good morning, everybody. It is so great to be back in Trenton, Michigan. I've traveled literally halfway around the world since the last time I was with you. I was in China for about 9 days, and what a wonderful, wonderful experience that was. I will try to integrate a few pictures sometime, not today. I didn't have time to pull those together. I got back last Thursday. As soon as I got off the plane, I went straight home, got packed and repacked, and went to Abilene, graduated our twin sons from college last weekend. Yes, that's why I'm so happy today. I just had two children leave college at once. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing for my wife and for me. So we're very grateful for that. Now they're on to greater things, which they are paying for, which I'm very excited about that as well. It's kind of a neat time for us. But did have a wonderful trip. It got off to kind of a rocky start, and it was kind of funny. A couple of the brothers prayed for me the Sunday that I was here with you last and prayed that I would have a safe trip. I got back to Dallas that night, got ready for my flight to leave, and it was canceled due to bad weather. So I actually had to fly by myself over to Beijing on a following flight that afternoon. And I'm just grateful for those prayers for safety, because taking off in an electrical storm does not excite me when you're riding in a metal tube with long wings on it that are also made of metal. So grateful for those prayers. And thank you all for your prayers while we were out and about. It is good to be with you. I want to let you know that we've clarified a few additional expectations related to our working relationship together. And we've extended our agreement through at least the months of August and even into a little bit of September. And so I'll be coming back multiple Sundays, at least through the rest of the summer. If you weren't able to join us for Bible class this morning, we started a brand new study time with Greg, and that's going to be 9:30 on Sunday morning, and that will be in the fellowship hall. So we had a great start today as we're studying the good and beautiful God together. And I want to encourage you to come be a part of that, really, for anyone, kind of probably ages 12 and up would be a study that you might want to engage in. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. It's going to be a wonderful time to be together and see what God's doing in and among us. If you will, take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to get there in just a bit. We're launching a brand new sermon series today, and it's called Bridges. For the next 4 Sundays, we're going to be talking about bridges, thinking about where to build, thinking about blueprints, thinking about the types of bridges to build, and to whom and for whom and how we want to build bridges, relationship bridges to our Father and to one another and to our community. So I think this series fits really well with your mission as a church, and with your vision as a church, to be a church that really substantially, significantly impacts the lives of people in our circles of influence, specifically those folks who are in our local community here. So I encourage you to be inviting your family members and your friends and other folks that you might meet along the way to come and to be a part of this study with us. I promise I will not embarrass you if you bring guests, okay? I promise not to yell at your guests or call them names. I will be very friendly to them, and I will love on them just like I try to be very friendly to you and love on you, and all to God's glory and to His honor. So as I thought about this series, getting ready for this concept of bridges, this has really been something that's been stirring in my heart for a long, long time. Over the past several years, as I've ministered to churches of all different shapes and all different sizes, and as I think about those people that are within our circles of influence as a church, as I think about our culture and the moral drift that seems to permeate so much of what we're about these days, the image and the theme of bridges has just kept nudging me again and again. And I begin seeing bridges from the past, from the power that is written in the Word of God, penned centuries ago, to the seeds that previous generations have planted, that still continue to bear fruit today. I keep seeing bridges that Jesus calls us to construct. Bridges built out of the materials of love and grace and mercy, peace and patience and faithfulness and so much more. I see bridges to the future as this church prayerfully discerns the kind of community that God is calling you to be and the next senior minister that God will call here to speak life to you Sunday after Sunday. And so my prayer is that the lessons that we'll be sharing together over the next few weeks will minister to you and that they will bless you as a result of our time together, as over the next four Sundays, we go on a bridge-building journey together. So as we prepare our hearts for that and our minds for that, I would like to invite you to pray with me, and then we'll dive into our study. Father, thank you for the morning. I'm so grateful, Father, for all the people who are in the worship center right now. Father, I'm just grateful that whatever motivation it was that got them here today, that, Father, this will be a blessed time, that we will see your face, that we will feel a stirring within our hearts to be men and women who reflect your glory. Father, if there are people here who are struggling with a sense of direction, with a maybe life's just thrown them curveball after curveball, and they're wondering, what do I do? Father, I pray this morning that we would all be drawn closer to you and that we would find some answers to life as we take the deeper dive into your word. Thank you, Father, for mercy, and thank you for grace. Thank you for this church, a place where people can come just as they are and be transformed into the image of Jesus. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know if you can see this image that is on screen or not. Can you get a good look at that? Does anybody know what that is a picture of? That is the famous bridge to nowhere. If you look at that bridge, you will notice something is missing from the end. Can you tell what it is? The rest of the bridge. Yeah, that's exactly what's missing. So as you look at that picture, it's kind of fascinating. Of all of the bridges that a church can pursue, of all of the bridges that a church can build, bridges to nowhere should be the last bridge we want to consider building. Sadly, these are the types of bridges that our culture currently is constructing left and right. What is even sadder is that these emotional and mental and spiritual bridges to nowhere have become part of our mindset for so long that many of us have no conscious awareness of the fact that the bridges that we are trying to construct lead to a never-satisfying end. Would you agree with that? Have some of you been there? You know what I'm talking about? I've built those bridges before in my own life. And we try so hard to go after that thing that we believe will make us happy, that thing that we believe will bring us joy, and we find ourselves feeling less than as a result of that relentless pursuit. Fortunately for us, God, through the power of His Word, provides clarity. In essence, He tells us again and again, I have a new bridge building blueprint. And if you trust me, well, the ramifications for that are eternal. One such bridge building blueprint, or put another way, a build these types of bridges passage is in Philippians chapter 2. So I'm going to start reading at verse 1. If you've got a Bible, you can follow along. If not, you can look on the video screen and you'll see the verses as we read through them. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to Christians in the province of Philippi. And this is what he says. Therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. So I want to talk a little bit about the context behind these words that we've just read, what Paul writes here in his letter to the Philippians. And the first part of the book of Philippians, or this letter that Paul writes to the church, Paul spends a lot of time talking about his circumstances. This is what's going on in my life. But in verse 27 of chapter 1, the letter takes this really stark turn when Paul notes the following. He says, whatever happens, this is what's happening to me, but whatever happens to me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. So Paul's primary concern in this passage is based on their attitudes toward one another. This is what Paul is encouraging the church to do. In your relationship with one another, build bridges, not walls. Does that make sense? Build bridges, not walls. So the question before us this morning then is, where do we build bridges? And the first place is this. We build bridges where Jesus built and continues to build bridges, and that is in places where God is honored. We build bridges, first and foremost, in places where God is honored. Now you may think, where would that be? Well, for Jesus, it was in every action, in every word, in every thought, and in every practice. Jesus was about honoring God every day in every way. So I want to take a closer look at some of the key words and phrases from the passage. Paul describes the bridges Jesus built to each one of us. He uses these phrases: encouragement from being united with Christ, comfort from the love of Christ, sharing in the Spirit with Christ, tenderness and compassion, fruit of being in relationship with Christ. In other words, if you have accepted the bridge that Jesus has extended to you, then be in the joy completion business. How do we do that, Paul? How do we make that happen? How do we build bridges to joy? By being like-minded, by having the same hope, by being of one spirit and in one mind, by doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, by humbly valuing others more than we value ourselves, by not looking to our own interest, but each of us looking to the interest of others. So as we think about these attributes of bridge building, we quickly discover the challenge of building in a world that is not like-minded. Love is often diminished by lust. There's no shortage of selfish ambition, would you agree? There's no shortage of vain conceit. Our culture values self above others. That is the new normal. Would you agree? We take much more selfies now than we do ussies. We take more selfies and ussies than we do youies. That's a new term I just made up right there on the spot. Right? We love to look at ourselves. Would you agree? And there's a time for that, and there is a place for that. Scripture is full of instances that are instances about self-care. But there's a difference in self-care and self-absorption. Does that make sense? What Paul is calling us to here is community care. We're all in this together. It's the idea of building bridges, not walls. So as I think about our culture, bridge building has never been more critical. I don't think in the history of our culture in the United States. So where does opportunity still exist? We live in a culture that basically says in many, many ways not interested in what the church has to say. But I do believe opportunity still exists. So where can we find those opportunities? Where can we still build bridges? For Jesus, it was in places where God is honored. That is everywhere. For us, it is in places where we can serve others. I want to revisit these verses from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a what? A servant. The very nature of a servant. So where do we build bridges? In places where we can serve others. But what Paul's talking about here is not some grandiose idea that only deep theologically minded people can grasp. Paul's just talking here to day-to-day believers. So as you think about this, and as you think about the way that we have a tendency to do church, and what we have a tendency to really focus a lot of our energies and a lot of our times on, it's easy for us to get caught up in the grandiose ideas and the big events and the large things. What Paul's talking about here is just day-to-day living. Short-term mission trips, long-term mission trips, those are important. Outreach programs, those are very, very important. Church activity, that's a really, really good thing. But I want you to notice the key phrase at the beginning of verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In day-to-day living, church, we must never lose sight of the fact that a cup of coffee with someone is just as holy a moment as the time we're sharing together this morning. The relationship that you share with other people is a critically important season within the circles of influence where you run. Where do we build bridges? It's in day-to-day activity. Just being Jesus to people we have the opportunity to serve. Treating a cashier at the grocery store with dignity and respect can be a holy moment. Not screaming at the person who cuts you off in traffic can be a holy moment. Praying for your neighbor can be a holy moment. Does this make sense? Paul's talking about day-to-day living. Several months ago, I came across an amazing story of what this might look like. If we go back to the previous slide, it's got the picture of the young lady holding up a piece of paper. So you may be familiar with this story. The scrub brush desert town of Queen, Creek, Arizona. This happened a few years back. Some high school bullies were throwing trash at a young lady who was a sophomore at the time. Her name was Chi Johnson. They called her stupid. And they'd push her when she walked by them in the halls. Chi's brain worked at about a third grade comprehension level due to a genetic birth defect. But she did know this. She knew what hate was. She came home every night at the start of a school year, and she would be crying and she would be upset. This is according to her mom, Liz Johnson. That permanent smile she had, her mom said, that gleam in her eye, that was all gone. Her mom says she tried to talk to teachers and administrators. She really didn't get anywhere, so she tries something different. The starting quarterback of the undefeated football team became her new target. His name was Carson Jones, and he had once escorted Chi to the Special Olympics. This is what she said to him. She said, "Just keep your ear to the ground." Liz wrote to Carson on his Facebook page, "Maybe get me some names." Any of you ever have a mom who took names before? But here's what Carson Jones did, and this is a fascinating story. He did something better than that. Instead of kind of ratting all the other kids out, right, he decided to take one in. So he started watching out for Chi. He started asking her to eat at the cool kids' lunch table. There's no placard on it, but we kind of know which one it is, right? I just thought that if they saw her with us every day, maybe they'd start treating her better. Telling on kids would have just caused more problems. And so it got better. Starting running back, Tucker Workman made sure somebody was walking with Chi between classes. In classes, cornerback Colton Moore made sure that she sat in the row right behind the team. So just step back a second. In some schools, it's the football players doing the bullying. At Queen Creek, they're stopping it. And not just with fists, but with straight up love. For a kid, most teenage football players wouldn't even notice, much less hang out with. "I think about how sweet these boys are to her," said volleyball player Shelly Larson. "I want to cry. I just can't even talk about it. Obviously, what they're doing is working." Now, even though this story happened several months ago, the ripple effects are still very profound. Disney is talking about making a movie. Carson and his team went on to win the state championship. Carson graduated. Since he graduated, his little brother, Curtis, he started keeping a close eye on Chi, made that promise to his brother. Our stories of serving the way Jesus served, our stories of serving the way Jesus served, may not be featured stories on ESPN like this one was. May not even show up on any other news outlet, but that's not the purpose of serving, right? Responding to Christ's love and modeling the life of Christ, those are the two primary reasons we're in the ministry of building bridges to the lives of those around us. So where can we serve others in day-to-day living? And those opportunities are everywhere, right? Everywhere. Where else do we build bridges? I believe we can build bridges in communities of faith where believers remember it is not about me, it is always about we. We got to get our pronouns straight, church. It's not about me, it's always about we. And when I say we, it doesn't just include the folks who gather and worship, it also includes the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They're also part of this assembly, right? So we can build bridges and communities of faith where there are believers who remember it's not about me, it's always about we. Philippians chapter 2, notice these verses again. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Look at these key words and phrases. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Be one in spirit. Be one in mind. Do not be selfish. Do not be conceited. Value others and look to the interest of others. And it's very important to understand. Paul is not saying you must agree on every single point. That's not his message. Paul himself had experiences in his own ministry when he was not like-minded with those around him, but he loved them more than he loved the argument. He prized building bridges more than building walls. And so, I have a challenge for you. This week, build a bridge. Here are some suggestions. Ask somebody, is there someone or something I can pray with you about? One of the best places to practice that is here. You walk into the foyer out there, you come into the worship center, and you meet someone, maybe you haven't seen them all week, and you say, hey, how's your week going? And they say, hey, I'm having a pretty tough week. What an incredible response would it be if you said, could I just pray with you? Now, that shouldn't feel awkward for us here, correct? That shouldn't feel awkward. What do people expect when they come into a church? Spiritual things? I surely hope so. If not, we're all in a heap of trouble. If someone shares with you, I've just had an incredible week. Life is going fantastic. I don't know that it can go any better. Hey, could I pray with you a prayer of celebration? If you practice that here, it becomes more natural for you to practice it out in our circles of influence. That we're able to, when we have conversations with people, just to say, not in a threatening way or not in a holier-than-thou way, but just in a, hey, would you mind if I just said a prayer over you right now? Or would you mind if I pray about that? And if the person says, no, that would be really awkward, please don't, then don't. But you can pray silently, right? Even in that moment. Or you can come back and intercede on their behalf when you're having quiet time just with you and the Father. I also want to encourage you this week, build a bridge by helping someone. Whether it's at home. Your mom says, hey, sweetie, would you help me with the dishes? Instead of going, huh? Say, sure, Mom, I would love to do that. Or maybe even go a step above and beyond and don't wait to be asked. First of all, your parents will say, what did you do with my child? Okay? I'm just kidding. I'm sure some of you are already servant-minded. But do you see how these kinds of actions, how these kinds of attitudes, how these kinds of behaviors, do you see how those can contribute to building bridges and not walls? I want to encourage you this week, as you do these kinds of things, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Is there something I can do to help you? Or not even asking the question, just helping someone. As you do that, ask for nothing in return. Just build and see what God does with it. 9 years ago, I ran a marathon. It almost killed me. I tell you that because when I trained for that marathon, I did not go out the first day and run 26.2 miles. If I remember correctly, I walked 1 mile the first day of training. So when I say to you, build a bridge, it doesn't have to be an elaborate bridge that saves thousands of people in a week. Just start. One simple action, one simple word, one simple phrase. Start building a bridge. A couple recommendations and then we'll close. This week, continue praying for your next senior minister. Maybe some of you haven't even started that yet. And if you haven't, what a great week for you to begin that process. Start praying for the person that God is calling to come to this place and be your next senior minister. Pray for his family. Pray for his community of faith. Most likely he'll be leaving one. So be praying that God is preparing that church for the call that God has on that church for the next season of that church's life. Pray for your shepherds. Al and Jim need your prayers. Pray for them as they are about the business of leading this body of believers. Pray for your volunteer leaders. They need your prayers. Pray for people in your community who need the Lord. Pray for one another. Don't just build a bridge to somewhere. Build a bridge to someone. Church, this week, build bridges, not walls. Amen. Amen. We're going to share a song together, and it's going to be kind of a theme song for us throughout this series. And I pray that as we sing this song together, you will reflect on these words and ingrain what we talked about today in your heads and in your hearts, and be thinking in advance about bridges that you can build to those within your circle of influence this week. And I also want to let you know, if there's anything on your heart, maybe you've thought about becoming a Christian and you're not exactly sure what to do or how to get started, as we share this song together, just turn to the person next to you and say, hey, what do I need to do? We'll get the conversation going. We are all ministers here. Everybody in this room, we're all ministers here. So if there's a need on your heart, turn to someone while we're sharing this song together. Let them know. If they don't know what to do, I can pretty much guarantee you they're smart enough to say, hey, I'll go find out, okay? If there's a prayer request that you have, what a great opportunity right now to start modeling what we talked about this morning. And that is to say, hey, would you pray for me? Or, hey, is there something I can pray for you about? Let's all stand together. Let's sing this song together. Let's watch God work in our heads and hearts.